We had headline numbers like 56 meters at nearly 2.9 grams oxide gold. That's very high margin material. Should we mine that in the pit as we plan to? So long intervals that will update studies in the middle of this year. We think we can materially improve the economics of the 6.5 year mine life that we've already set out. And then we've got some really high grade results.
Charles Funk, Heliostar Metals. Good afternoon, my friend. How are you?
Yeah, very good to see you, Andy.
It's really good to see you and to spend time with you and to all of our listeners. Heliostar is a sponsor to naturalresourcestocks.net. Let's talk about you've had some breaking news here. Talk to me about the drill results. I'm very interested.
Yeah, you saw the market reaction too. I think the people are realizing the potential of our La Colorada mine. So this was a mine that was on care and maintenance when we bought it. We brought it back into production at the beginning of this year. And we kind of have three steps: cash flow from stockpiles, expansion of the pits, and then the future. And so these results speak to the second two of those. We had headline numbers like 56 meters at nearly 2.9 grams oxide gold. That's very high margin material. Should we mine that in the pit as we plan to? So long intervals that will update studies in the middle of this year. We think we can materially improve the economics of the 6.5 year mine life that we've already set out. And then we've got some really high grade results, 5 to 15 meter intercepts of 5 to 25 grams gold, highest individual gold assay of 380 grams per ton gold, 10 ounce gold. So we think that there's potential for an underground future beyond the open pits. And so we have sort of this exciting major step coming in the middle of the year in an updated technical report and the economics. And then we have this bright future with the potential to extend the mine life underground ultimately.
Okay, so I want to talk about all that, and here's where kind of the regret is like you guys are just screaming, and it's like, hey, I'll wait to get in, I'll wait to get in. I'm not by any means advocating anybody chase a stock, but that's one of the issues you get when you don't get in early, and then just the good news keeps on coming. So let's talk about your quarterly results, and then really the plan going forward here, and this is really setting you up not for the year, but really to become the producer that you guys want to become in the vision. So tell me about the quarterly results.
Yeah, I think this year is such a transformational year for us as a company, and it's nice to be hitting those milestones. So we put out what I think is a very strong preliminary quarterly set of numbers. Take, for example, for our cash balance as a company. One of the knocks or reasons that you might not have invested in the past was our balance sheet. When the deal closed in November, we had $2 million in cash. We grew that to $5.5 million at the end of December. We grew that to nearly 14, just over $14 million. At the end of the quarter from operations. And we did the top-up financing, meaning we have $27 million in cash at the end of the first quarter. The assets, we produced just under 10,000 ounces of gold, on track to meet our 30 to 40,000 ounce annual production guidance. And we did it at sub 1500 ASIC cost. So 50% margin for the material.
I'm laughing. I'm interrupting you. That's just crazy. Yeah, congratulations to you and all the shareholders. go ahead. Go on. Go on.
No, you're like when you, when you think we paid $5 million to acquire these assets, and we've made more than that in the first 3 months of the year, it just shows you how much the money we've spent on the assets has changed them. What gold price is doing for companies like ourselves, and it sets us up really well for the future. We think we can expand that production at the Colorado, and that's what those results speak to. We think we'll have the permit to expand San Augustine in the middle of the year. That would be a material step forward in our production guidance next year. And then we've got Ana Paula in the background that should take us to 150 to 200,000 ounces. So, if your listeners are worried about, when's the right time to buy a Heliostar share, if we deliver what we think we can deliver, we should be a $1 billion plus business. So we think we can get there.
I'm sorry. It's
You're right,
great.
though. It's a powerful investment case.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, what do you do with that? Yeah, let's talk about What do you do with that? And let's paint the picture here of the vision here now. I mean, and I say that I just can't, I don't think enough highly, I can't say this highly, well, how do I say this? Congratulations, but it's not, but what investors want to know and what is really the vision going now? I mean, you're hitting on all cylinders now.
Yeah, the reason to buy a Heliostar share today is we think we can become 150 to 200,000 ounce a year producer from 2028 onwards at sort of sub 1500 ASIC. The most powerful part about that is we think we can generate, depending on whether you use $2,600 or $3,000 gold and one variable in a stockpile that we haven't yet drilled, we think we can make somewhere between 80 and $250 million from those assets over the next 2.5 years. So that gives us a significant portion of the capital to build Ana Paula and the rest that we will do with a project financing step. So we think we can get to those 150 to 200,000 ounce a year production rates with little to no equity dilution. And that's quite an incredible business proposition to put forward, because if we do that, we should be worth multiples of where we are today. And the risk is, can management get there? And so far, I'm proud of the fact that we have delivered to date.
Yeah, you really have. And it's really, if I can take a couple steps back, it's really about buying straw hats in the winter. And last time we spoke, you made that comment. And then it's having courage in the vision to do something when nobody else, when it's not popular to do. So that really, my hat's off to you guys and Heliostar. Just really the execution and having the courage to execute and do all that. So well done.
You're right. We were a very unpopular story while we put these assets together. You look at it, we bought 3.2 million ounces of M&I plus another 2.7 that's historic. You can add them together once we update that tech report. So a significant resource base. Incredibly, we paid 15 million total over two transactions for it. And the reasons for that were clear. The gold price was nowhere near as strong as it is. Gold equities weren't as popular as they are. The former president of Mexico was very anti-mining. There was a lot of reasons why people would discount them, and we absolutely were fishing where other people weren't, and we got access to some opportunities that, in hindsight, everyone wished they'd taken. We believe that. We think we understand reasonably well how to operate in Mexico. We'll never be Mexican, but I think with our contacts and our history in the country, we understand reasonably well how to operate. And I've always believed that in Mexico, you find a way. It's got a history of mining, it's got a rule of law based on English common law. That's my great experience in Mexico is a really, really dedicated workforce that can get things done and find solutions. And so we backed that. And so far, then the turnaround's changed. Clearly, gold prices, it's $1,000 higher than we even dreamed of plugging in these numbers. The new president of Mexico is proving to be much more friendly to business, even more so than I think was expected when she was employed, when she came in as president. And then thirdly, these assets had no. It's interesting. The assets that we bought off Argonaut had never lost money. They didn't have a tax shelter. This wasn't a turnaround story in the sense that you had to make something that wasn't working work. The problem was the money that they made was stripped out to try and build mines in Nevada and Ontario. So for the first time in the last 6 months, we've started reinvesting in these assets. And so they looked tired in the same way that if you don't serve as a car, it doesn't look that great after a few years. But you give it a love, you give it some service, and you can find out it's got a lot longer future. In some ways, that's a great metaphor for what we're doing at La Colorada and San Augustine.
Yeah, it really is. And the word that comes to my mind is focus, and it's focus on an area and getting really, really good at that particular area, that particular jurisdiction, and doing what you're doing and then executing on that, as opposed to chasing the next story or just chasing a shiny object, if you would, pun intended, that's on a different part of the world or even across the border or whatever. And I think that's really one of the many stories of Heliostar is just the execution that you guys are providing here.
Yeah, I think that's been a focus for us to maximize the performance of the assets that we bought, Now we can start to pivot to unlocking the future, and that's, some of those high grade potential underground mineable results speak to the future at La Colorada. We think there's room to grow the oxides at San Augustine, and we've got the 15,000 meter program at Ana Paula. So we've always gone from a 6 to 9 month period of bedding down and solidifying production. Now we're starting to move to growth and upside. I think as a company in the long term, we would like to do M&A. Oddly enough, M&A never comes when you want. But I think that's our plan: solidify, grow, and then look for opportunities.
Yeah. So I'm going to push back a little bit here, but just so you know, and everybody knows that I am a big fan of Mexico. I'm a believer in Mexico, but Mexico does have a, for lack of a better word, it's very, very rich in minerals, and it has a great workforce there by all means. But the political situation recently has been interesting. So for lack of a better word, to navigate that. So how do you guys navigate that, or how are you navigating the new administration? And you said they're very positive to you.
Yeah, I think you can speak even more plainly. You were probably trying to be nice to me on the question. It was very negative under the previous president. And in some ways, we've got to acknowledge that because we got assets very cheaply as part of that and as a key reason why we did. We probably wouldn't be the owner of the assets if AMLO wasn't the last president of Mexico. So we've got to acknowledge that that tough time has helped our business. And, AMLO wasn't able to change the law. The most anti-mining president in modern history of Mexico wasn't able to change the mining law, which speaks to the strength of that law. And then what was sort of abounded was that there was a rumor that Claudia Sheinbaum, the new president, would take a more balanced approach. And so that started off as rumor. And then you saw a few sort of concrete steps when she put out the 100-day plan for Mexico. They took off. They weren't progressing with a ban on open pit mining. They were going to open up staking claims freely. So they reversed a couple of the sort of more punitive movements that AMLO had made. And then you saw a couple of permits get granted, reasonably high-profile permits early this year. And you're seeing the system. I've seen it firsthand. I was in Mexico last week having some of the meetings. The system is opening back up. It's still a bureaucracy. It still takes time. You're not going to get, a big wave of things immediately. But where companies have met their obligations, have done the required work, I think you will see for the remainder of this year a return to normal rule of law, normal processes as the new regime gets on with the job that the law says they have to. So I think investors should be quite positive on the future of Project Immense, particularly step out project. If you're expanding a pit or you want an amendment to a permit, I would have a lot of confidence in those going forward from the first-hand conversations that I've had.
Got it. Okay, so take me now through it's May 16th, 25 as we're having this conversation. Take me now through the summer and take me now through the rest of the year. What investors should be aware of and looking for with you guys, any news that you can talk about? And again, you just had some great news, but any new more news that should be forthcoming that you can talk about and comment about?
Yeah, I think we're very catalyst rich in that period. I sort of think we have three levels of news. We have that sort of fundamental base, which is our quarterly production, demonstrating the cash flow that we've generated and we aim to continue generating from the business. Then we have these sort of fundamental steps in value where you show that the company's worth more, or we aim to show the company's worth more. Now, one of those comes in late June, early July. With the technical report I referred to for La Colorada to support an expansion of production there. Then late this year, sort of late Q3, early Q4, the Cerro de Gallo technical report on a project we think can add, nearly 100,000 ounces of annual production by the end of the decade. And then the big one, Ana Paula, mid next year. So we've got these big chunky steps coming, and two of those are in the next few months. And then on top of that, the advantage of a stronger balance sheet is you can do more and more quickly. So we've got drilling of the stockpiles. That'll be a short-term production at La Colorada in the second half of the year, focus on exploration there. We expect to have the permit for San Augustine in the middle of the year. That'll kick off more drilling at San Augustine. And right now we've got the two rigs at Ana Paula for the 15,000 meter program that we've got planned this year at Ana Paula. So lots of growth results, lots of meaningful business case results, and hopefully that building on the back of a steady, profitable operation of our assets. It's a wonderful set of catalysts ahead of us.
Yeah, no, fantastic. And investors should really be aware of that, is just really watch for the news. Watch for the news, because it's going to be dripping, or for lack of a better word, I should say, be spouting here throughout the summer. So it should be.
I don't sleep on Helios. If you've watched the news flow that we've had over the last 6 months, I think you can expect that same rate of material news coming, where we're an active company with a lot of irons in the fire that can move our valuation.
Yeah. So the next thing that I'd like to talk about just really briefly here. So this, in my experience in investing and dealing with companies or being a part of organizations, you bet on the jockey, and sometimes you're lucky, sometimes you're good. It seems like you're probably a combination of both. Tell us a little bit about your team specifically, and how and why you've been able to have this success now.
We've talked about this internally. Clearly, our timing has been incredible. You get these sort of 7 yearly gold events. It seems like we bought assets immediately before a generation, like 1920s, 1970s, and this period. So clearly, timing is a big role, and we have to acknowledge that there's been a healthy dose of luck there. But more importantly, and that does not in any way diminish from the pride that I have in the team that we have. I think we've made every post a winner. We've got a really strong team in Mexico, some from long-term Heliostar, some that we acquired with the acquisition of the assets. And we've forged a really good bond with our management team and our operating team in Mexico. And I think the last 2 quarters of production that we've put out are demonstrating that. We've been creative with solutions. We've been able to beat our cost guidance. We've been able to beat our internal production guidance. The team's gelled really well together. We're creative. We're entrepreneurial. We're an interesting mix. Honestly, we're probably quite a cynical group. We're a technically driven group, but we try to represent ourselves as young and hip and cool because, we are a relatively new management team out there. So I'd like to think that we're a good balance of optimism and be prepared to step forward and move, but with also some pretty significant technical rigor that drives our decision making.
Yeah, excellent. Well, anything you want to give to our viewers and listeners before I have you on again, hopefully very soon? What do you want to tell them?
Yeah, I think so. We just talked about this deliverable being this technical report that we're putting out. It's going to be the expansion of the two pits at La Colorada. Something to keep in mind when you see that land is the cash flow that we're generating from the stockpiles, and we're about to drill another stockpile at La Colorada. So when you see the capital required for the pit expansions, keep in mind the cash flow that we might be able to generate from the stockpiles ahead of that. And then I think you'll see a very capital efficient, pretty attractive future for La Colorada if you want a little sort of Easter egg for the listeners.
Yeah, fantastic. And I'll talk to my listeners and viewers here. Again, I'm embarrassed. I really am, that I wasn't an earlier investor. And I'm not, and I'll be an investor very soon. I really mean that. I absolutely believe in the story. And it's just very interesting. It's like, sometimes you just have a combination. You have a combination of great skill, a great team, and then it just, sometimes you get lightning in a bottle, where you just in that run, whether that's gold or whatever else, other commodity, and you just hit it right. And it just seems like you guys are really hitting on all cylinders here. I know from being out on the street, if you would, and talking to investors, I do that almost nearly every day. Everybody's talking about Heliostar. So again, congratulations to you guys, and just I look forward to really having you on some more, but also just really following the story. It's one of those great stories here that I'm really, really proud of you guys.
Yeah, thank you. Now, mining comes with many risks, as we know. You should be looking for outsized returns when you invest in mining because of the capital intensity and the things that you don't control. And we've certainly swam against the tide in the past. We've been in commodities when they weren't a focus. We know what it's like to not have that tailwind. It's certainly easier when you have the tailwinds that we have, but it's management's job to maximize those, and we're doing our very best to do that.
Yeah, fantastic. Again, it's really good to see you. Really good to have you on. I'm really looking forward to the next conversation, hopefully very soon.
Thanks, Andy, and thanks everyone for listening.
Yeah, thank you.